Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. And the word of God for our meditation today is the Old Testament lesson from Genesis 15. And this verse in particular is very significant. God told Abram, "This man Eliezer will not be your heir, but a son is coming from your own body. He will be your heir." Heavenly Father, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. About 3 years ago, I officiated at a wedding of a young couple. Their names were Darren and Cassie. And after Cassie became pregnant, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And her doctor encouraged her to terminate the pregnancy. She refused, being a Christian, so she went ahead with it and finally gave birth to a healthy little boy called Henry. Last year, the cancer returned. And finally, the doctor said to her, "There's nothing more we can do for you. Go home and prepare for your end." I should have mentioned, I suppose, that after she gave birth to Henry, she did receive treatment for her cancer, and it seemed to work. And they were so thankful to God for sparing her life and the life of young Henry. But now I'm waiting for a telephone call to inform me that Cassie has gone to meet her saviour. It's time like these when we figure that God has gone on strike, right? And I'm sure there have been times in your life too when you think that God's forgotten about you. He's on strike. He couldn't care less about what's happening in your life. And I reckon that's how Abraham, and I'm going to keep on calling him Abraham, even though at this point he was still Abram. But if I don't call him Abraham, I'm going to call them both during the sermon. So we'll stick with Abraham, okay? I'm sure Abraham was feeling like this too, that God had gone on strike. After all, many years before, God had come to him and promised him that he would give him a son and an heir. In fact, one day Abraham would become the father of a great nation thanks to this son that would be given to him and his wife. But it seemed as though God had changed his mind. It seemed as though God had gone on strike. We hear Abraham lament, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer? You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Abraham said this because he was getting up in years. And Sarah was no spring chicken. It seemed as though they had missed the bus. So Abraham comes up with his own plan. Let's call it Plan B. He decides to make his chief servant, Eliezer, his heir to his estate. He's decided that God's gone on strike, that he's not going to get a son after all, so he's got to take matter into his own hands, and so Eliezer will follow on in his footsteps, as it were. Now, before we criticise Abraham, we better remember that this was quite customary in those days. If someone didn't have a son and heir, then sometimes the property of the estate would be passed on to one of the servants. And if by some miracle a son did arrive in the meantime, then the servant will still receive a fair portion of the estate. So this was Abraham's plan B. What did God think of Abraham's plan B? You'd expect God to jump up and down on the spot and say, "Abraham, how dare you? Why don't you trust me? I've given you a promise and that should be good enough." But he hardly raises his voice to Abraham. He just gently chides him and says, "Plan A, my boy, is still in force." And once again he assures Abraham, "This man Eliezer will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Look up to the heavens and count the stars, as if indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be." Having made this promise again, God ratifies it in a remarkable way. He establishes a covenant. Literally, he cut a covenant with Abraham. That's what the Hebrew actually implies, cut a covenant. In other words, when two people decided to make a contract, a covenant, an agreement between themselves, they would take an animal, they would cut it in halves, they'd put one piece there and another piece there, they would take the blood from the animal, they make a path through the two pieces, then the two men would walk on that, I was going to say bloody path, but I can't say that, that path of blood, signifying that if one of us breaks the contract, the agreement, then the same thing happened to him or to us as it happened to this animal. That's cutting a covenant. And so God told Abraham, I want you to get some animals and I want you to slaughter them and I want you to cut them into pieces and I want you to get some birds and I want you to kill them too. And then I want you to put them on each side of a path which you are going to make with the blood of those animals. And Abraham did that. And after doing that, he is given a vision, an amazing vision. He sees a smoking fire pot and a blazing torch passing between these animals, pieces of animal and birds. And of course, this is a symbol for God. And God now, in a sense, walks along that bloody path and he is signifying to Abraham, may the same thing happen to me that happened to these animals and these birds if I don't keep my promise to you. Even if Adam were to castrate himself, God would still give him a son from his own body. Imagine the effect that that must have had on Abraham at the time. He must have been quite impressed after seeing this covenant cut before his eyes. However, a long time passes again and nothing happens, and this time Sarah decides that she's got to take things in her own hands, so she comes up with plan C, doesn't she? And she says to Abraham, her husband, look, God's gone on strike. It's up to us. I want you to take Hagar, my maidservant. I want you to get a child from her. And Abraham thinks that's a jolly good idea. He doesn't argue with his wife. And before you criticize Abraham too strongly, just remember this too was quite customary in those days. Quite normal, in fact. We can criticize Abraham, I suppose, because he rejected God's plan A and came up with his own plan and Sarah's own plan. Because, as you know, God finally did keep his promise and he gave them a son whom they called Isaac. Well, God is pretty used to us human beings rejecting his plans, isn't he? Consider his plan in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is God's supreme plan for the whole world, for you and for me. He has no other plan for the eternal redemption of sinful humanity. Now, it's bad enough that people outside of God's kingdom, outside of his family, have rejected and continue to reject God's amazing plan of salvation for them. But what is so disheartening is when you find Christians or so-called Christian churches throughout the world coming up with a plan B. And their plan B now is, oh, well, it doesn't really matter what you believe. All roads lead to God. Doesn't matter what religion you belong to. As long as you are sincere in your belief, somehow or another, you are going to end up in the presence of God. That's plan B that the world and even Christians have come up with. And if this is not bad enough, plan B also, they've come up with another plan B which teaches that salvation is also up to us. We've got to contribute towards our salvation. Jesus started it off, but he didn't do enough, and now it's up to us to complete our salvation by being good people, by living decent lives, by trying to obey the Ten Commandments. What an insult to God's plan and to Christ and his cross. The scriptures teach us a person is justified by faith, apart from observing the law. You can't get it much clearer than that, can you? And then there's God's plan A for teaching us how to show our love for him and our gratitude for him for providing us with a way of escape from sin, death and the devil, namely his Ten Commandments. And what we are seeing today more and more are people rejecting God's Ten Commandments or considering them simply ten suggestions. And we wonder why the world is falling apart morally. getting back to our introduction, we said that it seems at times in our life that God has gone on strike. What is God's plan for us when our faith is rocked by certain things? Basically, it is this: all things work for good to those who love God. If only we could believe that with our whole heart, what a difference that would make to our life, to our thinking, to our fears, to our worries, our concerns, our doubts, and even our anger. Let me give you an example of how God works. Robert Matthews' wife learnt that she was pregnant a couple of weeks before the Twin Towers came tumbling down in New York City in 9/11. She decided that she would fly to California to visit her sister to tell her the good news. On the way to the airport, they got a blowout. By the time the husband changed the tire, they missed the plane. So upset, they returned to their home. After returning home, the phone rang and Robert answered the phone. It was his father, Jake, and he said, "Jake, which flight was your wife on going to California?" And he told his dad, and he said, "Do you realise, son, that that was the plane that crashed into the South Tower?" He didn't realise that, but his wife's life had been spared. And then Jake said to his son, "As you know, I am a retired member of the New York Fire Department, and I've decided that I'm going to come out of retirement. I'm going to go to the site where that devastation took place and see if I can help." And Robert pleaded with his dad, and he says, "Dad, please don't go. You're too old. It's too dangerous." But he insisted. Rob was especially concerned for his father, especially because his father wasn't a Christian. Well, the father did die in the rubble that day, and Robert was angry. He was angry with himself, he was angry with his father, he was angry with God. Now his grandson would never get to meet, his son would never get to meet his grandfather, and his father was not in heaven. He died without knowing Christ. A couple of years went by and there was a knock on the front door, and Robert went to answer the door and he saw a young couple standing there with a child. And the man said, "Look, I'm looking for Jake, Robert's son." And Robert said, "I am he." Good grammar, isn't it? "I am he." And he says, reaches out his hand and he grabs him by the hand and he shakes his hand and he says, I never met your father, but it is an honour to meet his son. My wife, who was pregnant at the time, was working in the trade centre and was trapped under some debris. Jake, your father, found her and freed her. But there is something else you need to know. While your father was helping my wife, she led him to Christ." Rob's eyes filled with tears as he realised that his dad now was in a better place and that his son would get to meet his grandfather one day after all. God, you see, had a plan for Rob's wife and his father. Plan A, we'll call it. Rob had his own plan for them. He thought his plan was better. However, all things work for good to those who love the Lord. Rob's wife was spared, and Christ found Jake in the devastation of the Twin Towers. God had a plan for Abraham. Abraham figured his plan was better, or his wife's plan was better. In the end, he discovered that God's plan was better, and he learned to trust in God, in God's promises. And we're told in our text, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. That's God's plan for you and for me, that we trust in his Son Jesus Christ as our sin bearer, as the one who took our sins to the cross and there suffered a horrible death on our behalf so that we could become the children of God. All who believe in him are forgiven, pardoned, given new life, new hope, and the promise of eternal life. They are made righteous in the eyes of God, and because of their righteousness, everything that comes into their life, no matter how painful it is, will somehow be for their good, for our good. What an amazing God we have. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus. Amen.